Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram.
Dreams, some dreams come true.
To another episode of The Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. We're going to get started by moving and inviting the presence. And as we invite the presence and move into the stillness, and as we recognize that there is only one power and one presence, and on this line we recognize it as God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not together. We see ourselves as the image of all that God is. And so I want you to become intentional about the breath, because there's power in the breath, family. I want us to take in a deep breath, breathing in through the nose, hold it to the point of vibration, hold it to the count of eight, and then release the breath. And remembering to breathe deep in the diaphragm and deep into the heart. And so, together, let's be still and know that I am God. Let's breathe. And release. Let's breathe again. Be still and know that I am God. Let's breathe from me. And release. And last time, be still and know that I am God. Let's breathe. And release. And as we invite the energy of forgiveness, knowing that forgiveness is magnetic, is very releasing.
Day one, a prayer of forgiveness. Today, I forgive myself. Precious and beloved God, my source and my creator, today I ask for and open myself to receive the strength, courage, and compassion required to forgive myself. I forgive myself for all perceived sins, faults, mistakes, and failings. I forgive myself for every thought, belief, behavior, perception, and emotion that I have told myself is bad, wrong, unjust, unloving, and displeasing to you, God. I forgive myself for every hurt, judgment, condemnation, unkind or unloving thought, belief, and perception I have held about myself or against myself. I forgive myself for any behaviors, habits, or actions motivated by unforgiveness or the unwillingness to forgive myself. I forgive myself with compassion and love. I ask for, accept, and claim God's forgiveness today, believing and knowing that because I have asked, I have received. I am so grateful. I let it be, and so it is. Today, I forgive myself. Gratitude Meditation. This guided meditation is offered to support you in creating the experience of gratitude within your mind and body. Gratitude is the quality or feeling of being grateful or thankful. It is an expression of deep appreciation within yourself that is extended outward. In order to receive the full benefit of this meditative experience, it is recommended that you listen during a time and in a place where you will not be disturbed for 5 to 7 minutes. As you take a long, deep inhale, focus your attention and your energy right in the center of your chest, the center of love within your being. And breathe into the center of your chest, holding the thought form, I am so grateful. And exhale that breath. Again, breathing directly into the center of your chest, I am so grateful. And allow that breath to be released. And see, feel, imagine, intended to be so, that someone you love unconditionally and someone you know loves you unconditionally is standing right before them. See them with your mind's eye. If you can't see them, feel their presence. And if you can't feel their presence, just imagine that they're there, or set an intention that this person that I love unconditionally, who loves me unconditionally, is standing right before me. Eye to eye, heart to heart, soul to soul. And as if you could speak directly into their heart and into their being, simply say, thank you. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for you. I'm so grateful for your love. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to love you. I'm so grateful. And take a long, deep inhale. And exhale. And allow the feeling, the experience, the expression of gratitude to fill your being from the soles of your feet to the top of your head. Allow it to radiate and vibrate within you as you hold a thought for, I am so grateful. Grateful. Grateful I am. I am grateful for this moment, this life, this time, this experience. Just breathing gratitude. Long, deep inhale. I am so grateful. Slow, complete exhale. Grateful. I am. Again, a long, deep inhale. I am so grateful. And a slow, complete exhale. Grateful. I am. And breathe and experience the radiance of gratitude. And bring your awareness to the gentle ebb and flow of your breath. And together we take a long, deep inhale in and drop it with the sound of again, a long, deep inhale and drop it. And wiggle your toes and your fingers. And give your body a big stretch, allowing the energy to be balanced and reintegrated at all levels of your being. And whenever you're ready, you may open your eyes and focus on something in the room as you take a long, deep inhale and drop it. And allow yourself to just bask in the radiance of gratitude. And as you move into your day, be sure to do something good for you. And be blessed.
Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram, and gratitude. I love that. Gratitude. All right, family, let's start with the science of the mind. And today is creation and expression. Julian Norwich once said, God of your goodness, give me yourself. For you are sufficient for me, and you alone do I have honor. Jesus, with the profound profundity of simplicity unsurpassed in the annals of all teaching, said, it is done unto you as you believe. If you will analyze that to a fair thee well and think about nothing else, you will arrive at something which Thomas called the reciprocal action between the universal and the individual. It's one of the great teachings of the ages. We have to suppose the involution not as time when God began to create. In the beginning, God does not mean in the beginning of creation, but but in the beginning of any creative series, that is different. In the beginning of this particular cabbage we're making into coleslaw, there was nothing but God. And God poked the seed of the cabbage into a creative medium, the soil, which had no choice but to make cabbage. In the beginning of this creation, there's an involuntary thrust. It is the time when the plant was in the seed before the seed was in the ground. Talking about the oak tree that was in the acorn, the chicken that was in the egg, and the answer to prayer is the prayer when it is prayed rightly. It would have to be, or the universal would blow up and burst right open. Not because it's the petition of somebody who needs bread and butter. This has nothing to do with it. You see, the infinite has no need other than the necessity to express itself. This is the philosophy, comes from a book called The Philosophy of Ernest Holmes, 1996, page 52 and 53. And the affirmation today says, I speak this truth faithfully in my heart. All created things are ever a part of God. I speak this truth faithfully in my heart. All created things are ever a part of God. What a thought. That in the beginning there was God, and in the middle there was only God, and at the end there was nothing else but God. So, wow. You know, when we begin to think about creation and how we move through creation, the creation of whatever brings us into that space to remind us that there is nothing but God. Nothing. Nothing but God. I saw this movie last night. I came home from work. And I was just saying, oh, I want to watch a movie. And I watched this movie, Three Identical Strangers. And these three children were given away at birth to three different families. One to an affluent family, a middle-class family, and a blue-collar family. But neither one of these families knew that there was another child, that they were connected. They were triplets. So their name was David, Bobby, and Eddie. So Eddie goes to college and decides that he wasn't coming back. Bobby drives to college one day, and it happens to be the same college. And when he walks up, everybody is greeting him because they think he's Eddie. Did I say that right? Yeah. They think he's Eddie. And so he's like, why is these ladies walking up kissing me like this? She's like, welcome back. And he's like, thank you, but I've never been here before. And everybody is just so excited to see him because they didn't think he was coming back. So he finally makes it to his dorm room, and the best friend of Eddie comes walking in, and he said, you look exactly like Eddie. He said, but my name is not Eddie. My name is Bobby. So he said, man, you got it. Was your birthday July 12th? He said, yes. Was you born in 1961? He said, yes. He said, were you adopted? He said, yes. You got to be a twin. So he goes and calls his friend who lives about 2 hours away and tells him about it. So they drive. They get there. And when they get there, they look like they're looking inside of a mirror. It looks like, they move the same, they smile the way, and then they get in the newspaper because they hear about this story, so it becomes a heartfelt story how these two twins find each other, only to find that there was a third one. The mother, just looking at the newspaper, saw the twins and said, oh, my God, look at these hands. She said, my son got to be related to them because he looks just like him. And thing is, so she calls and tells, and then they meet, and they move the same way. So the triplets meet. So the story goes from amazing to even more incredible, and it's actually a true story. But what is my point here? I wanted to say that it's funny how the universe moves. It's funny how the universe moves. Now, I don't know if you ever looked at an acorn under the microscope. But under the microscope, the acorn looks just like an oak tree. How these three young men who were adopted from three different families in three different areas living eventually find themselves back together again. It was like they were, I mean, when you saw them together, it was like the universe meant for them to be together. It was like there was nothing that was going to ever stop them from being together. And it was meant to be together. It was, that's how amazing it was when you watch it. And so when you start to think about unseen force that is ever present, always watching, it's something amazing. And that's what I want to talk about today, the amazing energy. You know, even when you think about the book, The Alchemist, he's searching all around the world to find that he is the greatest gift right here within himself. And that the universe is always speaking to us and always moving us in the right direction, always nudging us. I like to say maybe it's nudging us. And that it will never leave nor forsake us, right? So when you think about no matter what's going on in your life, that if we got still and began to check in, maybe the universe is speaking to us. And maybe what's happening right now, if it's not so good, is nudging us to go in a different direction. It's always speaking to us. And that the universe is really, really, really friendly. The universe is always supporting us. I really get why Albert Einstein said the universe is friendly to our desires. And many people ask, do we live in a friendly universe or a hostile universe? But as I mature in my daily wisdom, I spend a lot of time asking myself, who am I? I've come up with lots of answers. But then when I go a little deeper, I realize that I'm a soul being. That I am. That just like the acorn knew that it was an oak tree, somewhere in the cells of my body, it knows everything that it's supposed to be. You see, I can say, I'm a teacher, I'm a writer, I'm a mother. But there's a deeper truth of who we are. And I know a lot of times we even get into the spiritual lingo of being a soul, or being the I am, and it sounds nice. But at first I didn't know what that meant. I'm a soul. Who was Janine at the soul essence? So I kept asking myself, school? Am I at the soul level? I was talking to two people. We're going on a silent retreat. And the two of the people that are going was nervous about the fact that you can't talk for 10 days. You can't read. You can't write. All you do is just be quiet and meditate, right? But the interesting thing for me was I'm not afraid of not talking for 10 days or how it's going to feel. I'm looking forward to the date with myself. You know, I feel like it's a date with myself. I feel like for 10 days it's going to be a total date with Janine. You see, I went from house to house to house to house. My sister finally texts me. I go from that house to my own apartment with Brenton in Hyde Park. Really, it was my own apartment, but he never left, so I moved in with him. Even though it was my apartment, he was there every day, and then eventually he just never left. So, and then we went to the house, and from the house to this place where we are now. But I said, I've never lived alone. I went from there to being with Brenton, taking care of children. And so this isn't, I've never sat somewhere in 10 days where it's been totally about me. And so I'm super excited about opportunity to receive. I feel like it's an opportunity to receive downloads from the universe. To get to know the presence of me that I've numbed for many years because I didn't know how to really be present with her. Because you get caught up in this rat race. You know, even thinking about it as a child, you get up, you go to school, come home, you do your homework, you go to church on Sunday, and it's just, but it was never time to say, okay, I want you to go in the room, and I just want you to find you. I want you to go daydream. I want you, like, when my children were little, I would cut off the TV, no radio, and we had quiet time. And in this quiet time, they had to spend time with themselves. Now, they could draw, they could lay, they could dream. But they had to, no TV, no outside distraction. And what I find in that time, it gave me also time to do the same. But it made me realize how important it is for us to meet the real self of us. What a magical thought to have a relationship in a way that only you can have it with you. So when you think about the universe being so friendly to our desires, there's something powerful that's happening even underneath this physical place that we can see. You see, if our shadows could talk, they would tell us there's gold to be mined in every experience. See, if our part of us that we can't physically see with the eyes, if we begin to see with our spiritual eyes, we begin to see there's something that's always happening. See, the universe is, even ourselves are made up of this energy. See, I'm going to say that again. See, the universe, including ourselves, is made up of energy. Important to keep it positive. Be as wonderful as the world you want to live in. Nothing is out of reach. The promise of life is that it gives you exactly what you think and believe you can receive. Let me say that again. Nothing is out of reach. The promise of life is that it gives you exactly what you think and believe you can receive. But some of us are thinking and dreaming so small. In this vast universe, very small. What if I told you could not fail? Why is failure impossible? You see, we all have hopes and dreams that we want to live and achieve. Some want it more than others. Some trust the universe more than others. Some just fantasize, but take no action, take no risk, and as a result, live unrealized lives. Some seem to have a natural knack for just doing it while others are frozen in fear. But what if I told you you couldn't fail? Which one are you? For me, one of the major beliefs I have that has helped me achieve and do everything is the belief that the universe is always by my side. That the universe is always guiding me, that life just gets better and better. Whether life is 100% true or not, it's not the point. The point is that is the story I tell myself, and most of the time that is the world that I experience. Believing that gives me a degree of calm and certainty that would be majorly lacking in my life if I got my certainty from the stock market. If I got my certainty from the employment rate or the various news channels out there, I would be filled with anxiety. But see, when we place our trust in a higher power, when we place our trust not in a limited God that we've been given definition to, but an all-knowing, you see, the universe, you are able to detach and not cling so much to this physical world. You can let go and tap into a higher, more holistic rhythm of life and not have to be so affected by the outside world. This is not to say that you should put yourself in some kind of denial about the world, but this is to say that the drama and the comings and the goings of life are there. They are not where you derive your identity from, though. Certainly, or trust from. Having this kind of faith allows us to be as close to fearless as we can be and act towards our dreams daily, knowing that we are being guided. It allows us to see that there really is no such thing as failure, that all you are doing is producing a result, and what you do with that result will greatly determine the outcome, far greater than any other force. See, you can never really fail. You can never lose in this universe. Problem is sometimes is our lives are ruled by our stories, the stories we tell ourselves. You see, the story we tell ourselves is the story we live. But what if we were true? What if it were true that you already had everything you needed to pursue and achieve your dreams, and that the journey wasn't about becoming more, but becoming more aware and tapped into the wholeness that you already are? What if the learning process between having a dream and living a dream is the journey that your soul signed up for and is yearning to take? What if there's an invisible hand guiding you in every moment, and that hand will serve and never let go, even in your darkest hour? And what if you attracted your darkest hour not to punish yourself? Come on now, Holy Spirit. Not to punish, but to show yourself the brilliance of your own heart and life. Let me say that again. There's an invisible hand guiding you in every moment. And that hand will never let you go, even in your darkest hour. And what if you attracted your darkest hour not to punish yourself, but to show yourself the brilliance of your own heart and light? What if every seeming act of hate in the world was just a request for love? Could you give your love away even then? You see, I believe our life, this is our calling, to live a life like this. Many of us do not believe that living like this will meet our basic needs of survival, but I believe that not living like this won't meet our basic need to pursue our soul's calling. The journey is not about seeking comfort and staying safe. No, my friend, know the Love Journey family. The journey is about arriving at the end, fully spent, full of scars, with your eyes wide open, celebrating that crazy journey you just went on down here on earth. That's what it's about. Because at the end of the day, after watching that movie, I was like, God, these three children who spent time in the womb together, and they spent some time in the cribs together, when they met back up, it was like they never had left each other. The magnificent about the way they interacted and how they loved each other, like they had never stopped loving each other. And I thought to myself, now, how the wind had brought them together, back together, how the universe had did all, how in the, of all the many universities in the world, how did he go to a university that his brother had just left the year before and decided he wasn't going to come back? Of all the places he could have went to college, why there? And in a whole other town, how did this newspaper get seen by the other parents? And how did they instantly know, without a shadow of a doubt, that they belonged together and that they were all related? It didn't show no DNA, that they took a DNA test to prove that they belonged, that they were brothers. But it's just so coincidental that they all were adopted from Louise Wise Adoption Agency, that they were all born July 12, 1961. And the interesting thing is that it was an experiment to see, was mental illness an environmental or hereditary? And so they put each child in each family, one with an affluent family, one with a middle-class family, and one with a blue-collar family. And it's interesting. I don't want to tell the story in case somebody wants to see it, but it's interesting what happens to the child who was with the affluent family, because the father had not spent a lot of time with that child. So if you want to see it, I don't want to tell you about it. But I just want to say that there is so many elements to how we move and navigate life. And it's so important that we stop and begin to recognize that there's a power greater than us. There's a power greater in us, as us, all around us, that is always leading and guiding us, always leading and guiding us. And that everything is divine. Even in our darkest hours. Even in our darkest hours. You see, when we get down to the really nitty gritty and break down the energy of love, love from with the capital L, its only job is to love us into our greatness. Love us into our greatness. We absolutely cannot lose. Because there is something that is always showing us and pointing us in the right direction, whether it's the pain, whether it's the joy, whether it's the wind. There's always something calling forth our attention. And in a world where we're so inundated with technology, sometimes we get lost and distracted
from the truth, from that small voice that is always calling our name. It's always calling our name. See, I'm so grateful because when we begin and begin in tune with the universe, there's something that's happening. There's something that's happening. They're saying, I love you, and I only want the best for you. There's something happening. Because when the Most High God created us, He didn't send us to the planet alone. So many beautiful energies around us, the angels that protecting us, and unseen forces that's always there wanting to love us right into the right direction. That's always providing us what we need. I was talking to a young lady. And she said she always wanted a sister. She had three brothers. She was the youngest. She said, but now, she said, I got so many sisters that my mother didn't birth, and I'm so grateful. You know, I was telling her, you know, so many times we are married to how things should look. Because we want a traditional father or a traditional mother. But if I had been open, I'm sure God had provided me with what I wanted, a father and a mother in a way. But guess what? I wasn't open to it. I'm going to just be honest. I wanted my mother. I wanted my mother, the lady that birthed me. But if I had been open to the love that other people were trying to put on me, life could have been different as a young person, maybe. But no, I wasn't open. We got to open ourselves up today, family. We got to open ourselves up. We got to be brave and take the risk. We got to open and awaken our soul's purpose. A lot of people are having a lot of things go on right now in their life. You see, this is an extraordinary, unprecedented time in our lives. A time for transformation when every single human being on the planet has the opportunity to align with our soul's purpose and to claim our unique gifts. And why is that possible now? The answer is because finally there's enough light anchored on the planet, enough light being linked, connected, and working together. We have reached the tipping point. We are past the point of no return. Consider yourselves all winners. What if what is happening on the planet has never happened before? What if we have just succeeded where previous civilizations didn't? Sacred texts in every culture. What we are talking about is planetary awakening. And it's not just in a select few. We're talking about each and every one of us. You see, I could feel it. I could feel the shift in my body, in my heart, and my mind. It's a knowing no longer based on the wing and the prayer. It's an intense, intrinsic, visceral knowing with every cell and pore of my being. There's more light being entered into the planet than ever before. It's time for us to connect to the light of our own soul. Can you imagine the feeling of being connected to the light of your own soul? Being plugged into a wellspring that exceeds any limits, moral capacity? What used to be a twinkle now feels like an expansive, tingling, benevolent river of energy flowing through your body from your head to the toe. The overflowing from the wellspring will ignite the birthing of your gift. Each and every one of us came here carrying a unique piece of creation. That piece, that particular way, has an inexorable need to culminate through us and express itself through our bodies as a loving action. You see, this is our soul's purpose. Our ray of light, when refracted through our physical being, illuminates a unique perspective. This is our gift. All that is being asked of us is that we awaken this precious gift, nurture it, protect it, honor it, find a practice that facilitates embodying it on a daily basis, and share it. Share it with others and with the world. You see, this is our job, our service, our ministry. Each one of us is a key, and we have the ability to unlock each other's mastery. You see, it's a win-win process because we're all peers. We're all here to shine, to emanate, and to link to each other through our hearts, extending as a web of light and encircling our beautiful planet like a shield of illuminated life stream. For all of us who have incarnated at this moment in space and time, we are either the most blessed and honored souls in all creation to deserve such an incredible opportunity. You see, we all have a front row VIP pass to the universe's most coveted event, the coming of the age of you. Isn't that a magnificent thought? You see, this is the moment when we get to emerge as radiant beings of light, celestial emissaries in the human form, overflowing with love for ourselves, for each other, and for the source. Everyone is invited to the party, and don't be tardy for the party, because everyone gets to wear the crown. And I'm bursting with overflowing joy, and I'm so grateful to be alive, because this is the most interesting time to be alive on the planet. Now, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? What are you going to do to shine your light on the world? What are you going to do to express the presence of you that is God, as God, all around the world? This is the most magnificent time on the planet. And nobody can do what you can do the way you can do it. You was born to win. You were born to win. That's my message. That is my message. Any questions, comments, and concerns, press 1 on Blog Talk, star 6 on teleconference, and know, family, that nobody can do it like you. All right, family. Well, thank you for tuning in to the Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram, reminding you that you are a gift to life. Good morning.
Hey, Janine, how are you?
I'm so magnificent. And Mayor J. Otto Price III.
I love the message. It was definitely, it rang very loudly in my soul, in my spirit, to find out that the love that we all have a name for, but the power of love that we call God has really taken the time to show expressly how precious my life is to his mission for me on this planet. I have experienced some things in this short life that I know no one could even fathom ever experience. And yet I'm still here, both personally and throughout in my family. And I am so grateful to be in the right frame of mind to know that this example of love someone gave me. Do you know what is the most powerful example of love to witness of a husband and a wife just had a baby? And the baby is frightened, and the mother, you know, is not able to give the comfort necessary. And that father goes over to the cradle and picks the baby up and begins to sing over that baby. That big provider, the big, strong, robust creator now takes the time to nurture that baby and let that baby fall into the comfort of love, sleeping comfortably, knowing that the creator that got me here, got me here. That's how I feel right now, that I've experienced the father cradle over me, rocking me in his arms and lovingly singing to me a song that confirms in every fiber of my being that I got you here. So I want to confirm with you, my loving sister, Janine, thank you for giving me an opportunity to share this very intimate experience with my family, to remind you that in the most critical time that you think the harshest, listen and hear God singing his love song over you to remind you, I got you. I got you here. I love you, Janine.
Love you too, Amir.
I love you so much.
Wow. I'm keeping you in my prayers. Yeah.
And that's a blessed place to be. And I thank you and the family for being there for me. Thank you.
And if you wasn't on the phone early when I prayed, or yesterday, we talked about Amir's son lost. Fiance made a transition yesterday through a car accident. And the baby is in the hospital. The 2-year-old is in the hospital. And so we've been sending lots of love and prayer to the Price family and to Jasmine's family. And to the 2-year-old baby to heal and to grow in its own magnificence.
Yes. Well, the one thing that has been downloading into me was to be prepared to find the tools, find the necessary equipment so that as we go from day to day, that we are equipped, or we can find someone to help us become equipped with what it's going to take to complete this mission that we've been given.
Mm-hmm.
As my favorite statement, to boldly go where no man has gone before. Thank you for today. To boldly be here. Because no man has ever been here before.
Well, you know, what's interesting about, I've come to believe that life already has everything you need. See, today is no surprise to the universe, the Most High. So everything is already equipped, even inside that 2-year-old baby, because God knew that his mother would be released from the planet. And so the baby is already equipped. So if we handle the baby as if the baby already is equipped, and that you all are already equipped, and that the universe knew exactly what it was doing. See, our ways are not God's ways. You know, in our ways, you know, it would have been the most perfect plan for the mother and father to be on the planet. But that's not the perfect plan for this baby's life. The plan was for this baby to exist the way it's existing, because somehow there's a plan for this baby's life. And there's a plan that's already equipped inside of him. And so our job is not to find or not to manipulate or control, but to guide that baby back to the space where all the answers lie, which is within himself, because he's already equipped with everything he needs to live his life to the fullest, even without his mother being on the planet.
I agree. Thank you so much for that reminding that fully equipped, whether we are in remembrance of it or in knowing of it, it is there. So my desire is to guide and bring light so that when the light comes on, we can see clearly what is inside of us to be able to make this journey complete as designed.
So exactly.
Thank you for that reminder. I do accept that. And I remember my very first touch of love from the love journey. And as I've grown from that day to this one, I am so grateful to be here amongst this loving family. Even being chastised, I would rather be chastised by someone that loves me versus someone that's there to do a job.
Yeah, you felt like that was a chastise?
Well, when you're revealing things that I don't want known to myself and I want to keep it in its dark place where it's my secret, yeah, that's a type of chastisement to tell me that that's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to acknowledge it, be faced with it, and deal with it in a way that's going to grow you versus be a button that's going to always be pushed by the unknown and unsuspecting. They call it the enemy, but it's the end in you that's being pushed.
Mm-hmm.
So I came to that revelation through the love journey. So, no, it wasn't your typical textbook chastisement, but I learned a lot about me through the journey of love.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I didn't want to know, but now that I know, you can't unring that bell.
Mm-mm. And you know the messages that come through are not just for you guys too. Sometimes, you know, I have to be reminded that I don't have to manipulate, control, that I need to sit still, just get still and hear, you know, get still and hear and be led and be guided, you know, because we're conditioned and taught hustle, make it happen. Because I used to even have a slogan, I'm the make it happen queen. And I thought I was really making it happen until one day everything I touched used to turn to gold, and then everything I touched one day wouldn't turn nothing, couldn't turn to nothing. I don't care what I did. I'm like, what? Because I thought I was making it happen. And God said, no, you got to know who really making it happen. And I had to learn how to let go, because in this society we're taught, okay, to compensate or to create or make. And in reality, it's just knowing, it's a knowing that we need to know that we're already equipped. That today ain't no surprise. Okay, God, I didn't have enough to pay the rent. Well, today ain't no surprise to God. So I ain't got to hustle and flip. All I need to do is get still and say to the inner sources of my presence, the unlimited presence of who I am as God. Where do I go? What do I do? And hear, and then take action on what I hear. I didn't always know that I was equipped. I didn't always know it. And then when I did know it, sometimes I would forget it. Oh, because I went back to my old ways of thinking. When things happen, it's in the midst of the crisis, you know. And then I had to realize that, oh, that's not my job. My job is no, I'm already equipped. This is not a surprise to the universe. Nothing is a surprise. And I just love how we've come into understand that more on this planet. The light is shining brighter. You know, more children may come to the planet. And I was talking to my girlfriend, and her son is autistic. And it was this movie, The Accountant, that made me see the brilliance of the autistic child. And so that we've been handling the autistic child wrong for too long. This, it's just ways to understand how to bring out the greatness in that child.
Music is such a healing balm to the mind. Meditation brings back the mind in a way that nothing else does. And so if we took that autistic child and sat with it and showed him or her how to get back to themselves, we can even heal that process. It's just that we get caught up in the physical presence of what something seems or what has been defined as impossible. And even though we say we believe in a possible God, we still operate in an impossible energy. Oh, that needs to be tweeted. That was some good stuff. Oh, I had to stop and revel in my own goodness right there. But
yes,
we do. But for real, think about how many times we say we believe in the possible, but we operate in an impossible energy. We say, I believe in the possibilities of all that God can do, but we limit the presence of how God can operate through us because of our own fears and our own impossible thoughts and limiting fears and thoughts that keep us perpetuating in this cycle over and over and over again. I say God can heal my body, but yet my energy still moves through a process that doesn't give me the full vision that that's possible for me. Or I say I believe in an unlimited source of God, but I keep finding myself in lack. Or I believe that God wouldn't give me, you know, like I hear a lot of my friends, my girlfriend says, not enough men out here or something about men. And I said to my girlfriend the other day when she was telling me about these statistics, I said, you really believe that there's a presence, a God that loves us, that will create a situation where it's not enough men to women? I just don't believe that. I said, and I know it's not true. I said, because I have so many male friends who are single who pray for women every day. And they say they wish I wasn't married. I wish I could marry all of them. And I have me, you know, but I can't. I only could be with one because that's what I like. I like monogamy. Not to say that, you know, any other thing is not good, but I like monogamy. But I'm just saying, I've been thinking to myself, why do we limit our thoughts to believe the stuff that the statistics and physical appearances seem to give us? But I digress. Thank you, Emir. I appreciate you. And I'm sending you and your family lots of love, lots of joy, comforting through this period. And just want to remind you that everybody's equipped with everything to support this beautiful gift of your grandson through his journey. His dad, his granddad, all of you all have everything this baby is going to need in this journey.
Well, I'm desiring to accept and receive the light on my life, showing me those amazing tools to be able to use at the right time for the right situation in my life and the life of others. Thank you again.
You're welcome. All right. That's it. That's all, fam. Any more questions, comments, concerns? Press 1 on Blog Talk and star 6 on the teleconference line. All right, family. Y'all know I'm in love with this song. And this is my
song.
Good morning. Good morning, beautiful.
How you doing? I just turned in just a few minutes ago and heard the end of this conversation, but I just want to thank Brother Emir for the conversation that he had with Brother Roosevelt. It has made a tremendous difference. So, you know, you have already gone where no man has been many, many times. And what I'm hearing from both of y'all are reminders of what we already know is inside of each and every one of us. And, yeah, we do forget, but they're just reminders. So I thank you both. It's been a beautiful listening. Have a blessed day.
So So can you tell me about October 13th? It's coming around the corner.
Oh, yes. We just celebrating, celebrating, celebrating. And, you know, you could actually say y'all just kicked it off. Just kicked it off with this beautiful conversation that healing is in the air. Healing is in the air. It's in us. It's everywhere present. Give thanks. Give thanks. Yeah. So on October 13th, you know, brother, if you could come, I mean, if I had a private plane, I'd just scoop all y'all up. And but we'll be in Baltimore. We're going to have a whole lot of healing practitioners and people who want to know more about healing and workshops and also hands-on healing room or healing room is actually what we've set up. So people can have the experience of having healers work on them as well as learn the modalities for self-healing purposes. So we'll be doing that from 9 a.m. until 5:30 on Saturday, October 13th. We'll be at 3605 Coronado Road, Baltimore, Maryland, exit 18B off of the 695 Beltway. And the tickets are $25 for adults and $10 for children. We have three workshops for children in healing of the entire body, mind, emotional sense, and financial. So please, thank you for giving me this opportunity to mention that again. But the real blessing today has been this conversation. And I thank you for all that you're doing, both of you. Have a blessed day.
Let's talk about the Fire Circle prayer line tomorrow morning.
Okay. Tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Brother Amir's been on. He's been on in years past. So if you want to call in or just listen in and or if you want to pray, please do. It just hit me, you know, as I was listening to y'all. I need to listen to the recording because there's so much I was getting so many prayer thoughts in my head as I was listening to the conversation. And I like to just sit with this conversation and bring forth some prayers so that my heart be open to that. So please join us, 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we are, the number is 712-832-8330. And then there's the access code. It is 962-873-POUND. We're usually on about an hour. We try to get off in time to be ready to listen to the love journey. Sometimes we go over a little bit, but the way we have it set up, you can come in and go out anytime you want without disturbing anybody else. So please feel free to join us during that period. And again, yeah. Thank you, Janine and Brother Emir. I love you both.
Well, you know, the conversation is just kind of centered around a movie I saw last night called The Three Identical Strangers Who Were Triplets who were born and given to three different families, and neither family knew that there was a triplet, or you know, that they were born in the same sack. And they said if they had known, but it was an experiment that this, and it's a true story, that this particular scientist was doing to see whether mental illness was a environmental issue or was it hereditary. And so they gave each baby to a different family. They gave one baby to an affluent family. They gave one baby to a blue collar family, and they gave another baby to a middle class family.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to see the effects of the mental process being raised in each family. And I was just saying how these three children end up finding each other, and when they found each other, it was like, you know, they were one boy name was Eddie, Bobby, and David. And Eddie had dropped out of college. He had went to college, and then he decided not to come back. And Bobby ended up going to that same college, driving 2 hours away from his home, getting there. And when he gets there, everybody is kissing him and hugging him. And girls are walking up and kissing him in the mouth, welcome back. He like, what is going on? I don't know you, he was thinking. But, you know, he was excited. He was a young man. These girls was kissing him and hugging him. He like, wow. Well, I've never been here before, but thank you. And so when he finally makes it into his dorm room, this guy looks like Eddie. He said, no, my name is Bobby. He said, tell me you were born on July 12th. He said, yes. He said, tell me you were born 1961. He said, yes. Tell me you were adopted. He said, yes. He said, you got a twin. And so
wow.
he said, for so they calls him, they run, and they calls Eddie on the phone. And Eddie said, what? And so he goes and meet him. Now, he lives 2 hours away. So he goes and meet him, and when they look at each other, like every movement they made was like a mirror reflection. And they immediately knew each other, but didn't know how they knew. They just knew that they knew that they knew. And then, so they wrote about it in newspapers, and it was all on TV. And the third parent of the other baby said, oh, my baby got to be a part of this because he had the same exact hands and look as these children. And they was born in 1961, July 12th, from Louise Wise adoption agency. So she knew immediately that there was a third one, and she called, and they was like, what? So then it just became inseparable. They loved each other. They lived across the streets from each other. They never, it was just, and then it goes into the rest of the story. But what my point was is that just like a acorn knows it's a, when you look at an acorn underneath the microscope, it knows it's an oak tree. And it's something unique about unseen presence of the universe that already knows, like every cell in your body knew what you came to the planet to be.
Yeah.
Now, we get distracted from all the processes that we be conditioned by, and we lose in touch with the self. So it's about getting back to that soul essence, understanding what is the awakening of my soul. How can I awaken my soul so that I can hear what my cells came to the planet to be?
Yes, this is true. It is that getting quiet, getting still. Even, I mean, you know, the consciousness of being connected is so important. You know, I have three children that were born when I lived in West Africa, and their dad is from Ghana. The youngest one did not know him for a lot of years. She was raised here by grandparents, and he just, you know, we were separated, and she had no contact with him. And she has a spiritual advisor that advised her to start meditating some years ago, maybe about 4 years ago. And she is so consistently more, first of all, she's given up the anger. The forgiveness came through. And she is so much more his personality than the other two who he raised. It's amazing. You know, so, I mean, when you said the unseen is stronger, I'm saying, yes, I can see that in her. She's so much like him, her mannerism. She's even, you know, she doesn't have a Ghanaian accent, but she's got a way of talking that has a little twang twist to it. It's so much more like him than the other two, who actually spent a lot of years with him. So, yeah, it's a strong connection.
Mm-hmm.
And the quieter we get, the more internal we become, the more aware of ourselves, we release all of those distractions that are keeping us from having that full connection, and we get it. We get it. We get it. You know, you look at people who have friends that are more like them than their own family. So there's something going on in that unseen. Something going on when we get connected to ourselves that is such a pulling cord for like-minded spirits, like-minded feelings, like-minded people who are all around us all the time. All the time.
That's so true.
All the time. Well, thank you for bringing me up to date with what I missed.
Yeah, and it's just talking about how the universe always loves us right into the space, even in our darkest hour. Even in the darkest hour, even that darkest hour is love nudging us into our greater version of ourselves, you know. So that's what we talked about.
Yeah. And I love that the brother said, you know, I desire to feel and know that as well, because that's the knock on the door, and it always opens. Always opens. Good, thanks. Good, thanks.
Just in case y'all don't know who's speaking, this is Reverend Judith Hockma. Did I say it right?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yeah.
Yes. Very Reverend Judith Hockma. And you need to connect with her. Make sure you get on the Fire Circle prayer line in the morning. And if you're in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area, and you can make it out October 13th, you don't want to miss an opportunity for transformation. But if you're not, you can go to the Eventbrite and make a donation and buy a ticket, buy two tickets. You can go to Eventbrite, and the name of the event is called, can you tell me the name of the event so they can find it on Eventbrite?
Festival of Healing. It's on Eventbrite. Yep. Yeah. Festival of Healing. Yeah. And you have to put Baltimore. Festival of Healing, and the city would be Baltimore, Maryland. And
all
it'll
right.
come right up on Eventbrite. Yep, yep, yep. October 28th, I'll be doing a Sunday sermon looking at the whole spiritual principle of enthusiasm and zeal and how you can turn that into your inner self. I'm going to use the scripture of the inopportune widow, the lady that wouldn't give up on her request, being, you know, all excited and raving and railing about what she needed. She internalized that zeal and kept persisting until she got her desire. Yeah, so anybody who's in the Baltimore area, again, same location, October 28th, 9:30 a.m. Yep, yep, yep.
And where would that be located?
3605 Coronado Road, Baltimore, Maryland, exit 18B off 695 Beltway.
Oh, it's the same place. Okay.
Same place. Yeah, building a spiritual community, you know. Yep,
all
yep,
right.
Yep.
Would it be
Thank
televised?
So
or, will you all be Facebooking or streaming live?
No, we don't do that yet, and there's been many requests, so that's the next step.
You know, it's interesting since we so worldwide, and I can't talk. I know Z probably saying Janine can't talk. I know, but I'm doing better streaming. But you know, since we all connected, you know, worldwide, there's so many people from all around the world on this line, all around the world, and you know, we, you know, can connect more through the streaming process if you know we guys streamed more, and I mean myself too. You know, I've been doing better.
Yeah, that's true. You know, we have a good 200-300 of our family from Ghana that are connected with us on Facebook, and you know, because the kids, you know, the 19, 18, 17 year olds, you know, they have their cell phones, and all they, if they see the last name, they just befriend us, you know. So we have the family name is Saki Few, and we have a family tree on Facebook, and it's a good 200-300 people on there. Just imagine what it would be like if you were streaming to them in Ghana, and I was streaming to them, you know, from my sermons. I mean, we could really connect the family here. Huge family of righteous thinking people, all walks of life. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So let's get it going, Janine. Let's get that technology on the book.
Yeah, I have to say I've been doing better. Well, you know, and the thing is, Judith, that you can go on and just do it from your phone. You can have somebody have your phone.
I know. Someone said that. Somebody told me that. So
and
I,
it's so simple.
Find somebody. Yes, I know that. I was at a good friend of mine, Jim Webb, ministered here in Baltimore, D.C. area. I went to his church one Sunday just to see what live streaming looked like. It was a little camera on the top of a tripod. They set it up and everybody went and sat down and enjoyed service. They forgot the thing was on, you know, and it just did what it needed to do. It was so easy, so simple, and I recognize that. It's not really difficult at all, but it does take, you know, a willingness on my part to just get it done or just ask somebody to do it, you know.
My daughter's church is in North Carolina. He has 13 campuses, and he only physically is at one, but he streamed into the other 12 campuses, and he has.
Is that Seacoast?
His name is Stephen Furtick, Reverend Stephen Furtick, and
okay.
Man, when I tell you, everybody loves him. Oh my God! And it's just I mean, even the church my daughter go to, we watch them on the screen when we're there. But it is amazing to see the innovation and how, I mean, this guy pulls in millions and millions of dollars of tithes. He shows the tithes every week he get and what they do with the money and how they serve the community. It's just amazing. He's doing big things.
See, it's really easy. We just
got to
get started. Get done. You know, just get it
like
done.
Like you said, you need all you
got to
do is push the start button.
Uh-oh. Thank you for the reminder. That's true. That's all it takes.
Well,
okay, so
as a speaker, she really needs an assistant to do that. She needs an assistant to do that.
True. Well, you know, I have to take their equipment up.
Yeah, I didn't mean for it to be you to start the button. Just somebody who does need to start the button.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I've seen people take their equipment up on the podium and set it up and then start their sermon. I don't want to do that, but I have seen it done. You know, it's once you get in the spirit, I mean, you kind of like want to forget you're doing all that kind of stuff.
So you just get one of them young people in there and just that'll be their mission every week, and that'll be a part of their resume, you know, that they recorded and created the streaming process
now,
for the church.
Now that's a good idea. That's a really good idea, because we know they have the skills.
Especially someone who wants to be in the filmmaking industry, they would love to do it, because then they can edit and put in all the technology pieces and just make a nice thing. It's good. And I know it's time to go, because I heard your alarm. I think that was your alarm, right?
That's my alarm. It's time for the next assignment. Yeah.
All right.
I'm going today to get trained in transcendental meditation. I'm very excited about that.
Oh, yeah. I just finished my second set of training with the transcendental meditation.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, this is the beginning of my second episode. I have, I think, two more after this, and I'm excited. I'm it's good stuff.
Yes.
So that was my alarm to let me know it's time to go and get my stuff together. Yeah, but this has been a very enlightening morning listening to the brief conversation. It's so amazing how so many gems happen in such a short period of time. But between the two of you, it was such a rich dialogue. Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, I thank you for that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to hang up so you can do what you need to do, and love you much. I'll be listening again tomorrow. Peace and many blessings.
I'll see you in the morning.
All right, I say.
All right, family. Thank you for tuning in to The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. Reminding you that your life is a gift from God, and what you do with your life is a gift back to God. Remember to choose love. Love is the only choice. And remember, family, don't just dream. Your God has dreams. Live them. And I know that if you stay on the line, I want you to hear this song. This has been my theme song for the last few days. I just love this song. And so this is Daniel Caesar, and I love the best part. He said, if life was a movie, then you're the best part. He said, you're my coffee in the morning. You're my sunshine when it's pouring out raining. Have a great day, family. Reminding you that you are my coffee in the morning. Have a great day.
Give yourself to me, give it all. I just just wanna see. I just wanna see how beautiful you are. You know that I see it. I know you're a star. Where you go, I'll follow. No matter how far. If life is a movie, oh, you're the best part. Feel so nice. You're my water when I'm stuck in the desert. You're the talent all I take when my head hurts. You're the sunshine of my life. I just wanna see how beautiful you are. You know that I see it. I know you're a star. Follow no matter how far. If life is a movie, then you're the best part. If you love me, won't you say something? If you love me, won't you love me, won't you? If you love me, won't you say something?